Today we're talking about the relationship choice. Kids can be dismissed at this time, I'm sorry. Or kids can be dismissed again at this time. Ages 5 to 12 and go to follow Miss Heidi out. Anybody ever heard the term four eyes? All right. If you have glasses, you've been called four eyes perhaps before. I remember as a kid, there was some kids in my school, and one thing that, you know, was kind of interesting for me growing up is that I could always mix with either the proverbial cool kids or the uncool or nerds of the group or of the school. I was able to flow, and I was able to really kind of get along with either group just fine. And I found myself a lot of times in the middle of both groups. I could, again, go to either one, but I particularly saw when the nerds or the uncool people were picked on, it would make me upset. Remember one time was in gym class and someone yelled across to someone trying to hurt their feelings, "Hey, four eyes!" And I was like, "Well, hey, at least they have more eyes than you. I can see better than you can." And, you know, I just felt like that was my big comeback, my big defense, my big defending the helpless, so to speak, and defending the friend there. And so, you know, for me, that was me having mercy, me trying to make peace and do something. It's amazing sometimes how we confront some things to make peace. Sometimes we have to say something maybe in somebody's face to make peace for somebody. Perhaps there's someone you know that needs mercy, and sometimes we say something to confront someone that's maybe judging somebody else. I think we've all been in those situations where we see someone getting hurt, we see something happening, and we step in and we stick our neck out. And sometimes we can get hurt in those situations. Sometimes we hurt other people in those situations. Sometimes those produce big wounds in our hearts and in our life. Now, nothing particularly happened to me at that point, but I want to kind of get you on a trail here of connecting with what we're talking about today. So, you know, I think in all of our lives, we've all been hurt in many different ways. Perhaps you were the kind of person that maybe called somebody four eyes. Maybe you were maybe the bully in your class. Maybe in life, maybe you're the kind of person that always picks some people, makes fun of people. Perhaps there are people in your life that you have deeply, deeply hurt. But perhaps you were on the receiving end. Perhaps you were on the other end of that. Perhaps you're the one that's been deeply hurt. And usually, this is the saying, usually hurt people hurt others. Usually, if you are maybe the person that's the aggressor, you might not even see it. If you're the person that says something to somebody else, if you're the person that's maybe taken from somebody else and haven't given back, usually it's because someone had done that to you. And usually you were on the receiving end of that. Usually you had received some kind of hurt and therefore hurt back. And you know, I think we've all can experience hurt in our lives. So all of us can experience pain from somebody else. I think all of us have been misunderstood by somebody. Anyone ever been misunderstood by somebody? Nobody else has? I'm going to misunderstand the rest of you and call you liars, right? Don't call me a liar! Right. So right there, right? Make a judgment call. We make an assumption, right? We go off something. We don't like someone's response, and so we retaliate back. And sometimes you're misunderstood. Sometimes you're stereotyped. Sometimes you're judged. Sometimes someone takes something you're saying, takes it out of context, and uses it against you. Sometimes someone thinks something about you that's completely not true, yet they're convinced that this is who you are, this is the way that you are. But let me come back around. I guarantee you've done the same thing, though. I guarantee you've done the same thing. I guarantee that we have all experienced, not only experienced that on one end, but also have given it out on the other end. Because I'm sure if I were to bring up somebody, something, some name, you would have some automatic judgments that come out. Talk about voting, right? If I just talk about Obama, you got a judgment already in your head about him. If I talk about someone that you know that's maybe famous, you got a judgment, good or bad, about him. But let's stay away from this. Let's go a little more into our connection here with other people. You know, in this series called Life's Healing Choices, I see that, you know, at first we've been really internalizing, looking at a lot of things about us. And I look at, like, you know, the Great Commission says to go into all the world, first into Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world. Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And, you know, we've been focusing on our Jerusalem, on us. You know, what's going on in us. But this is now talking about the relationship choice. This is going a little bit beyond us. This is going into our Judea. This is going on to those that are around us in our life and our connection with them. This is going on to our relationships of those that have been around us. And here's the thing. Some of you have people in your relationships that you have had close to you that are not close to you anymore. What's happened? What happened in those relationships? Were you hurt? Did they say something? Did you trust them with something and perhaps they misused it? You ever do that? You ever trust somebody with some sensitive information? They stab you in the back with it. They talk about other people with that information. That hurts, doesn't it? That makes it very difficult. And at that point in time, When someone hurts you, when someone misrepresents you, when someone talks bad about you, when someone assumes something about you, when you have a leader that's done something wrong, I've had leaders in my life that I've been very hurt by. Very hurt. I've had pastors, I've had bosses, I've had friends, I've had some of you sitting here today. I've had many people in my life that have hurt me deeply. Sometimes you might have had a teacher that hurt you. You might have had a spouse, right? All of our spouses hurt us at some point in time. I think that's part of the process. I even say as a church, usually when people are coming, I say, look, as a pastor, I will hurt you. Not intentionally, but it's oftentimes part of the process. It's part of the process of building family. You know, without some pain, family usually does not get too cohesive. And there's some pains that we have to go through, and a lot of times they're unintentional, like we're trying to stab each other, but other times there happens where we do stab each other and we hurt each other, okay? But just think, in all your relationships, this has happened. There's been some kind of pain. A lot of times, if you're still in a relationship with someone, you've gone the other side of that pain. You've worked things out and gotten through some things. But we all have dealt with this. We have all dealt with hurts. We've all dealt with assumptions, presumptions. Perhaps you've been physically hurt by somebody, and you receive a physical pain. Usually, physical pains are not just physical, though. There's usually quite an emotional attachment to there. And so here's the thing. You probably have people that owe you something. You probably have people in your life that you feel like they owe me. They owe me. They owe me. They did this to me and they owe me an apology. Or, you know what? I lent them money and they owe me some money back. You know what? I gave them my trust with a sense of information. Yeah, again, we go back to they owe me an apology. They owe me this. You know what? Not forget that they owe me. I'm going to make them pay. I'm going to make their life miserable, right? I'm going to make them suffer. I'm going to, let's say if it's your spouse, I'm going to ignore them. I'm not going to talk with them anymore. I'm just going to play the quiet game. You ever do that? Amen. Thank you for being real. I think all of us as spouses have all done that. Okay? Me included. I'm not going to talk to you. That's it. We just do this pouty thing, right? And we just stay away from talking with them. You know? For us, their spouses, there's a lot of things that we do, right? In reaction, we make them pay for it. If someone owes us something, we figure out how to make them pay. And likewise, you might have someone that feels they owe you, that you owe them something. They might be trying to make you pay it. Maybe they feel hurt. Maybe it's your spouse. And here you are going tit for tat. They feel you owe them something. You feel they owe you something. Perhaps it's like that with the church. Perhaps you feel we owe you something. And perhaps we feel you owe us something. I don't know. I'm talking about perhaps your job, right? You feel they owe you more money because you're doing more work than what they're paying you for. All I'm saying is that when that happens, when that thought begins to come into your mind and that feeling begins to come in, all of a sudden your actions begin coming out in those in responses appropriate, or according to those thoughts. And this gets real dangerous. This is where we're talking about the relationship choice. And we're founding these scriptures here in Matthew 5, verse 7 and 9. And so if you want to take a look there, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 and 9. Matthew 5, verse 7 says this, and if they're in YouVersion notes if you want to find it on there. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So let's say that out loud with me. Say, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. How many people here need mercy? Verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, here you see two things that are relational, right? Peace and mercy. These are in regards to other people. This has not, it's not just internal, but this is about giving something away. It's not something about mercy. It's not simply about peace, but it's about mercy and peace in action. Okay, that's what I see with these two verses. Mercy and peace in action in regards to other people. Now, we can talk, I've seen these scriptures so many times, and I've seen it as, like I mentioned the four eyes example. A peacemaker goes into a situation, wants to make peace. We want to reconcile things, and if you've been redeemed, if God has purchased you, if you have been reconciled back to God, you want others to be reconciled to God. You want others to be reconciled with other people. You might be that kind of person, you want to see people get along with each other, and you have that heart to see reconciliation. Sometimes it needs to be confrontation for that to happen. However, I'm going to withdraw from you with other relationships, and we're going to talk about your relationships. We want to get into our own relationships and making peace in our own relationships, because we all have relationships that we're blind to, that perhaps we need peace being made. Likewise, mercy. Now, mercy, you know, Some people get mercy and grace mixed up, and I love this. I love this contrast of mercy and grace. This definition for mercy, if you have notes, write it down. If not, it's in your YouVersion notes, and you can email it to yourself from there. It says, mercy is not getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Let me say it again, because that's kind of a little bit of a mind bender, right? Mercy is not getting what you deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. Completely different. All right? Because here's the thing. We deserve wrath. We deserve punishment. The Bible says the wages of sin are death. Okay? It's not a pat on the back. It's not a spanking or pow-pow like I give to my girls if they're doing something wrong. It's not a, you go to timeout. It's death. You deserve death. You want to come to God. You want a relationship. You want to live forevermore with God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Guess what? Your sin needs to be burned in the hellfire because it is worthy of hell. Your sin is worthy of death and hell, what you have done. You want to come, you can't stand before God. There's no way you can stand before God. So God's mercy is his wrath withheld and relinquished. That's the mercy God came through Jesus. Jesus is mercy. When he came, he took on the wrath of heaven upon him. He took on all that sin and death, and he took it upon his own body. Why? So that we didn't have to. It's called propitiation, which is a big word, right? It's a million-dollar word right there in the Bible. But basically, it's the wrath of God taken away. Jesus took the wrath of God. He poured it out on Jesus. That's why it even says that it was his pleasure to see Jesus there crucified. Why? Because it was in that moment that the wrath was taken away. It was brought all down on one man. All the wrath that we deserve for our sin. Let me put it this way. You owe God. Let's come back a little bit. Instead of just you loving God and want to be with God, you owe God. Get in your face a little bit. You owe God. God made you. God gave you life. Anything you have ever had pleasure in this world is because you are alive and God made you. Not parents, but no. God, you are here on this earth and you have a purpose on this earth. And you are truly satisfied when you fulfill that purpose. But let me put it this way. You owe God just for being alive. No, I don't. I understand we get all these arguments and I'm not going to go too far into that. But basically, you cannot give back to God. You can't even be next to God. You can't even be close to him. Why? Because he hates sin. I brought this example before, but you ever have a dog that you love or a cat or an animal that you love, and all of a sudden they get a skunk that sprays them? You ever have a skunk spray one of those things? Well, guess what? You might love that dog incredibly, but unless that smell goes away, you are not hanging out with him and getting too buddy-buddy. All right, you're not going to be petting him and having him all around you. Why? Because you cannot stand the stench. The same way with sin. God cannot stand the stench of sin on us. And even though he loves us greater than he would love any animal or dog, he loves us intimately. That stench needs to be taken away. And the only thing that takes away the stench of sin is death. Blood. Death takes away. And so it's the blood of Jesus that wiped away our sins. It's the blood of Jesus that makes us whiter than snow. It's the blood of Jesus that provided mercy for us for our sins and made atonement, but not only atonement, forgiveness, complete forgiveness, took it away. So, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, I think about how many times I need mercy in my life. But here, this is a really big thing here because the Bible is real strong on forgiveness, and for good reason. The Bible is very strong on this relational aspect in our life. Because I don't know if we realize how much God's forgiven us for. It doesn't matter. You might have had be the greatest sinner in the world and God forgave you. But you know what? Here's the thing. You might have been a Christian all your life like me pretty much. Gave my life to Christ when I was 4 years old. Okay? But does that mean that my sin got any less of a penalty than your sin? Let me ask you that for a second. I was a Christian all my life. I didn't do drugs. Didn't smoke. Okay? I've done some bad things, didn't have premarital sex, didn't do that, I was a virgin all my life, right? And so does that make my sin worth any less than your sin? Has the same price. Has the same price required the death of Jesus because I still sinned. I still got angry. I still said things I shouldn't have. I still broke things. I still cussed. I still, whatever, I broke the commandments. When you break one commandment, this is one thing I appreciated from the Gateway Conference. They mentioned this, that, you know, if you have a window, let's just say you have a window and you break one part of it. Do you say, oh, I broke a little part of the window, or do you say that the window's broke? Let me ask you. I mean, if you have a window in your house and a little piece of it gets broken, you say, "Oh, just a little piece broken." You say, "I broke the window." Say, "I broke the window," right? Well, here's the thing. When you break one of the Ten Commandments, you didn't just break one of them. You broke the whole commandments. You broke God's law, all right? You broke the commandments. You've sinned. We've sinned, and we deserve death. We have the mercy of God, okay? So I want to bring that how important it is, because I don't know if we realize our need. And this was really choice number one. I'm going back a little bit because we realize that, man, we can't do anything good. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, the Bible says. And so in any case here, we're talking about mercy. And mercy is, again, when we could pay someone back. Here's a definition, okay? It says here that mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish. Okay? If it's in your power to punish someone because they've done something wrong, or you feel they owe you something, that is when mercy can be activated. That is when mercy is activated. Okay? So, and let's talk about peace for a second. You know, here's peace, and here's talking about making peace. And again, we can go in the example of making peace in other people's lives, but perhaps there's people in our own life that we need to be making peace with. Perhaps there's people that we need to be coming in and talking with. Romans 12:18 says this, "If it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Okay? Live peaceably with all men. That is quite a high and tall order, isn't it? Live peaceably with all men. Can you do that? I bet you we can all think of someone that we're angry with, someone that did something wrong to us, or perhaps we did something wrong to another. But here's saying, live peaceably. Don't burn the bridge. Is what you're doing, let me ask you this right now. Is what you're doing burning a bridge with someone? Let me come into this. Are you exercising your right, or are you building God's kingdom in that relationship? Think about the relationship that you might be having a hard time with. Someone owes you, or you owe somebody else. And let me ask you, are you trying to get what you deserve or give what you think they deserve? Or are you trying to build God's kingdom and reveal Christ in that relationship? That hits home, because usually when there's something wrong, you owe me. You did something wrong. I have a right to do this. I have a right. Let's get to a scripture about some rights here. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. If anyone has the page number in the Bibles, they can shout it out. 398. Page 398. Thank you, Michelle. Matthew 18, starting at verse 21. This is Peter and Jesus and the disciples talking. It says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven.'" And I don't have that calculated out, but that's almost like, you know, once every minute or something during your day, okay? "So therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants." Listen to this parable, okay? And this is right after he's talking about forgiveness, right? "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king." Everyone say king. "Who wanted to settle accounts with his servants." Say servants. "And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents." Say 10,000 talents. So we have a king and a servant, and one of the servants, okay, in his kingdom owes him 10,000 talents. "But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and their payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me. I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion." Say, moved with compassion. "Released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out." Okay, here's that servant. "I just got forgiven a debt that he could not pay. All right, got forgiven where his family could have been sold in slavery. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants." So here he's serving someone, but now there's someone serving him, or someone that owes him. Okay, and so he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down on his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. that his master, after he called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Here is a very, very, very strong and poignant point that's saying, hey, are you holding unforgiveness in your heart? Is there someone that you could be displaying mercy to that you're not? Maybe we quickly forgot what we were just forgiven of. When was the last time you asked God for forgiveness for something? It is important that you know what you're doing wrong. It's important where you see where you've missed it. Not to keep you down, not to say how a horrible person you are, but every time you realize how wrong you are and you come to God, you are exalting Him as Savior and Lord of your life. You're exalting Him as the one who gets you out, who saves you. You're exalting Him as the forgiver. It's not by your willpower, but it's by His power. Okay? I'm not saying you need to be on a constant guilt trip. However, you need to be constantly realizing that I've done something wrong. Because the moment you think that you're doing good and you get on a roll and you do really good for a while, then you might start judging other people. But here's the thing. You can go. Let's go back to the same scenario. Let's realize you realize what you're doing wrong. You get God's forgiveness. But you got to realize, too, that you need to be forgiving other people. And it's not just about you. You're here to build God's kingdom wherever you're at and to breathe out the forgiveness that you have received in your life. We all need to be doing this on a consistent basis. We need to realize where I've messed up. We need to realize, you know, I realize, and I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about what I've done wrong. I don't want to think how I hurt my little girls during the day, how I answered them sharply because I was tired, and I told them to do something, and I told them to go here and get this done, and I was just mean and rude about it. I don't want to think what a jerk I was to my kids. I don't want to think about how I was a jerk to somebody. I don't want to think how I ignored somebody that I should have loved. I don't want to think about how I've done something wrong. Do you think, who wants to think like that? Nobody does. But here's the thing, when I realize and recognize it, and I say, God, forgive me, my weakness becomes His strength. And in my weakness, He is strong. I'm not setting out to do wrong to see His strength. That's what Paul says. I don't set out to do sin to see His strength, but if I can recognize what I do wrong, my weakness, I then glorify, I focus on His strength. I don't focus on my weakness. I recognize it, but I bring it to God. We'll talk about this more a little bit next week, all right? I say, God, here it is. God, I've messed up. So look, God has given you mercy. Is there someone in your life you need to be breathing mercy out to? Is there someone that you need to be making peace with? Perhaps you owe somebody. Perhaps you need to be asking mercy from somebody. Perhaps there's someone in your life that you've done something wrong to. Okay? I'm not just talking about people I've done wrong to you, but maybe you've done wrong to somebody else and you need to say, God, forgive me. But not only God, ask that person, will you please forgive me? You know what? Technically, I owe you. Technically, I did this wrong and I never reconciled it. I can, you know, if we look at all the people that done wrong to you and that you've done wrong, it's a long list that you can keep writing until Christ comes again. Right? It's a long, long list. People that have hurt you, things that they've done. And I'm not saying, look, and let me say this. If you're going to reconcile with somebody, perhaps you're convicted and you need to reconcile. If bringing some subject up is going to hurt that person, and though, you know, if bringing the thing is going to hurt them in a bad way, then don't do that, okay? I'm not saying, look, just bring up any old thing, because there's some things that are really can really hurt, damage someone, can cause someone to go off a deep end, okay? So I want you to be careful with this, but I want to encourage you that if there's someone you need to reconcile and make peace with and build that bridge that perhaps you burn or start tearing down, perhaps there's someone you need to extend mercy to, perhaps let's start with your spouse, the closest person on earth to you, or your children. Is there something that you need to reconcile there? Is there somewhere you can extend mercy where you feel they owe you? Say, no, I'm going to breathe out mercy. God's forgiven me. I have so much forgiveness because of how much God's forgiven me. I want to breathe out this mercy to somebody else. Let me read one or two more scriptures here. Colossians 3:13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Matthew 6:12 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." James 2:13, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy, but mercy triumphs over judgment." You have the right to get someone to owe you something, right? You even have lawyers that can exercise your rights. You have people, you have things that you can do to exercise your rights. But I'm asking you, is God saying, breathe out mercy? How about your spouse? Are you playing the ignoring game right now? You need to breathe out mercy. Are you mad? And look, when you have kids, sometimes, yeah, there are certain disciplines that you have to teach them. Okay, but let's explore that because we're going to come into communion here. Okay? And I'm going to ask that we prepare communion right now. And if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 11. And we're going to start at verse 27. Now, Richard is going to be handing out the communion. Now, this is not for children, right, that don't know what this means, nor is it for people, adults, that don't know what it means. Okay? So if you don't understand what this is about, don't eat it because you're hungry. Don't partake of it. This is a holy thing before God. And important here as we get into this, 1 Corinthians 11, 27. How many are there? Say amen. Amen. Okay, 5-6 people. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself." Say, examine himself. "And so let him eat of the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Okay, but when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with this world." So look, for you, some of you, you got to realize that this message is mercy for you. Let's come back. Some of you need to realize that this message right now is mercy for you. Because perhaps you were going to install judgment on someone that you shouldn't have. And God's saying, don't do that, because I want to bless you. I want to breathe forgiveness on you. I want to love on you. And perhaps this is a warning sign saying don't do that. Perhaps there's some long-term hurts and pains. This is called life's healing choices. You need to make a choice and say, I'm going to forgive. But I don't feel like it. Of course you don't feel like forgiving. Of course you don't feel like forgiving. But if feeling is your Lord and God, then bow to it. But if Jesus is your Lord and God, then bow to him. And bow your heart to him. And when you bow to him, he gives you power to do what he has commanded and asked of us to do. When you bow to your feelings, it rips your power and willpower away from you. So I want to encourage you to bow to Jesus today. Bow in your hearts. When you know, we all know, we have Christ in our hearts, we know if there's some resentment that we're holding on to, we know if we've done something wrong, and we haven't asked forgiveness. And so I want to encourage you, before we take communion, we don't have a song here today for a reflect song, but I want to take time for us to reflect for a moment. And say, God, put the searchlight on my heart right now. Lord, is there someone right now that I need to be breathing mercy upon? This person that comes to mind automatically that did me wrong. Maybe it's me standing in front of you right now. Maybe it's me. I don't know, right? I've had, again, pastors and leaders that have hurt me deeply. Maybe it's someone else in this room. Maybe it's someone else in your family, friend, spouse. I don't know, but I want you to ask God and ask him, Lord, help me to breathe out mercy, God. Because I can't do it. And that's the thing you need to realize. You can't. You need to inhale his mercy. You need to inhale his forgiveness. In order to do it, you need to realize where you've gone wrong. And maybe you've hurt his heart or sinned and gone off. You need to inhale his love and forgiveness. So let's take a moment right now. I'm just going to pray over you. But as I'm praying, you don't need to be thinking about what I'm praying. Okay? I want you to be asking God, Lord, show me, God. Show me what it is, Lord God. See, am I saying, God, I'm not going to do that. Don't ask me to do that. Some of you might be saying that right now. I'm not going to do that. Don't ask me to do that. Then might I dare say this? Don't ask God to forgive you. And really, I'm just saying what the Bible just said. Give you a whole bunch of scriptures on that. I don't want to, though. I don't really want to. Don't resist what God wants to breathe into and help you with right now. Perhaps it's your father, perhaps it's your mother, perhaps it's, again, someone close, but let me pray over you and I ask you that you bend your heart to him right now. Holy Spirit, we're coming before you right now, God, and we desperately need your help, Lord. Lord, I know the times that I have been deeply hurt in my life, Lord, and how difficult, how that poison is so deep, Lord God. And Lord, I feel, God, that I perhaps might be your hand of judgment to that person, Lord. But Lord, that's not what you say, God. That's not what you say. And Lord, I ask that you would forgive, Lord, us, Lord God, even for the thought that we could keep this and take it in our own hands, the fact that, Lord, our own feelings of what we feel we should do, Lord God, holding on to it. Holy Spirit, right now, I ask you, Lord God, that you would help us to release and open up this pain that's in our hands, that's in our power to do something with. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to open it to you, Lord, and surrender to you, Lord God. Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord God, that you would grip, Lord, our hearts and hold it, Lord, during this difficult moment, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, that we can trust you, Lord, with our hearts. That we don't trust what we can do, Lord God, how we can act and do something to satisfy us. But Lord, that you are the one who satisfies us. That you are the one who forgives us. That you are the one who heals us. Holy Spirit, I ask you for your healing power to flow right now, Lord. To flow in every heart here, God. That you would forgive us, Lord, our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lord, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil, Lord God. For that is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, Lord God. Thank you for all that you've given us, Lord. You give us our daily bread, Lord. I know I'm going backwards in that prayer, Lord. But Lord, right now we want to hallow your name. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our God. Not our feelings, not our thoughts, not what we think is right, but you are our God. And I ask you for your healing, for the hurts and pains. I ask you for your love and forgiveness, Lord, for how we've gone astray. Now we've tried to do things in our own strength, Lord. Lord, we pray for healing in our relationship with you, God. And that through that, Lord, we might breathe that same love and healing in the relationships around us that you have given us and provided for us. Thank you for your love, O Lord. In Jesus' name. You know, if Holy Spirit's touching you and you know this is you, just stay still for a moment. Go ahead and guys and go ahead and pass it out right now to those that want to take it here this morning. But this is called communion. This is a time where we recognize the communion that we have with God. This communion was purchased at a very high price. So we have the bread that represents his broken body for us. This was broken because of God's wrath against sin. Do you know why God hates sin so much? Because it keeps you from him and it keeps him from you. He hates us so much, it cannot fellowship with him. And so Jesus took the penalty and took the punishment for it and broke that wall of separation through the breaking of his body. He incurred the wrath that was due to us, and his blood was shed for us. By his stripes we were healed. Those stripes that he bore poured out blood. And it says, by his blood that we have been made clean, that we have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, that we are as white as snow. Clean, as though sin never existed. Because he shed his blood. There's a powerful thing that my wife's family does at her church. She's in her church in her family's church right now in Mississippi. Because her grandmother passed away this past week. So that's where my wife is. But Pastor Black does something very powerful during communion. And I just want to reiterate say these words to you as you're thinking about, as you're doing communion here today. But he says, look, turn to your neighbor, and pass your cup or your bread to them. I'm not asking you to do this, but I'll let you know what's being said. He says, I want you to say to them that in you I see the reward of my Lord's pain. Think about that. Say, in that word, it says, in you I see the reward of my Lord's pain. In this person that you might have an issue with, can you see the reward of the Lord's pain? Can you see the reward that Jesus won for them? Can you see that God's kingdom can be built in them? Can you see the reward, the prize that Jesus won? Go back to the scriptures here in a minute, just right now. In verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, it says, that Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for your broken body for us. We thank you, Lord God, that you did this for relationship with us, Lord God. And in you, Lord, we do this in remembrance of you. So this time I recommend everybody, as he mentioned, we thank God to break the bread. Let's partake of it now. Thank you for what you've done, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. It says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So, Jesus, we remember you, Lord. Remember the blood that was shed for us, Lord God, and the new covenant that was purchased, Lord God, that we're no longer under a covenant of wrath, Lord God. We're no longer a covenant of having sacrifices for sin, Lord God, but, Lord, that we are free to worship, to love you, to connect with you, Lord God, and to breathe out that love and forgiveness. Thank you for your blood, Lord. Let's partake.